Welcome to Your Career Doctors on Grapevine Radio. I'm Barbara Jackson.
And I'm Lee Miller.
And we're your career doctors. Your Career Doctors is all about taking control of your career.
It's about providing you with the information and contacts, skills and tools you need, both on the show and on our website, careerdoctors.com.
At Your Career Doctors, we also want to make sure that you have access to experts like our guest today, Ema Gordon. Ema's from the NIS Foundation. Lee, why don't you introduce Ema?
I'm delighted today to have our guest, Ema Gordon. She's the program officer for the economic development for the NIS Foundation for Women. In that capacity, she manages the economic development initiatives for the organization, including the Collaborative Fund for Women's Economic Development and the Institute for Women Empowerment. One of the primary focuses of her activity is to help low-income women to start and expand small community-based businesses. Welcome, Ema.
Ema and Lee.
Well, how does someone know, Ema, if they should start their own business?
Well, Lee, I think, you know, it's a great question. Women's entrepreneurship is a very fast-growing population. In fact, we know that women start businesses at a faster rate than all firms, actually almost twice as fast as all firms. And so when one is thinking about starting a business, which is a very exciting concept, I would suggest that the first thing you should do is to get some advice. There are hundreds of programs that are located in all of our states. And, you know, throughout this time together, we'll actually talk about some of the resources, both online as well as local resources that folks can tap into to get some advice.
Because I'm sure our listeners will be very interested in hearing
that. Yeah, the first thing to do is to ask someone. I would say the other thing that you should do is to get some training, because like all other career options, a business actually needs skills, and there are lots of free and low-cost training facilities to help folks get started, and I would suggest that that would be the second thing you should do.
Terrific. Now, you often hear of the risks involved in starting your own business. What are some of the benefits?
Well, I think right off the bat, we can imagine that owning our own business is an absolute benefit. It is a long-term asset, or it can be if it is successful, and it's something that you can pass on, of course, to your family members and to future generations. And so I think that those are the main reasons that many, many people find it to be so fulfilling to really be your own boss. And to be able to fulfill a dream, if you will, by increasing your income through business ownership.
You're actually creating something, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I would just add, you know, I think that there are numerous risks, like there are in many other career options, but we just have to remember that there are resources out there to try to mitigate some of those risks.
Terrific.
And as long as you don't try to reinvent the wheel, you can seek out those resources to help you along the journey.
Good. Now, what are some of the options you have when you're considering starting your own business?
Well, like I mentioned, Lee, I think one of it is just to remember that you don't have to do it completely on your own. There are programs, as I mentioned, in every state to guide your decision. I think right away, if you go to a local program, they'll explain to you that there are classes that you should take. Some of them are 6 weeks long, some of them can be 2 days long, but there are training courses that you can take to guide you through the process. And there are obviously resources that can accompany those training classes. Many local nonprofits provide small grants and or loans for new business owners. And so those are options that you think about. But beyond that, you want to do a business plan because you really want to know, do you have the right concept? Is it right for your community? And do you have a product and or service that will sell? Those are some of the main questions that those programs can guide you through.
You also need to consider whether you might want to do a franchise of some sort, right?
Of course. I think that there are a lot of business ideas, and what you need to do is to really think about the market. Often we get caught up in thinking about the dream, but honestly, if you don't have a product or service that people will buy, you know, you're setting yourself up for failure. So it's really important to be able to flesh the idea out by thinking about the market that you're in. And that will help you to think about what size of business, what structure of business, and ultimately what resources you need to put that business off the ground.
Well, you know, some of us worry about the fact that we just don't have a lot of money. So, you know, where can you get the money to start up a business?
Well, that's a great question. As I mentioned, those programs that provide resources for new entrepreneurs, it's called the microenterprise industry, and it's very prominent in the United States, and over 500 programs across the country provide resources. Those resources don't just include training, because as you're naming, you also need money. Many of those programs provide financing in the form of small business loans, and sometimes, but less often, grants, smaller grants that can help an entrepreneur just to get off of the ground. Most entrepreneurs, Lee, use, number one, their own savings. We call it equity. Sometimes you can get a matched savings program. Many folks across the country tap into savings programs called individual development accounts, or IDAs. And those are programs where you can put some of your savings, and those are matched by other sources. And so that's one way of creating the equity. And then secondly, people go to family and friends for smaller loans. And then thirdly, you can go to a larger business loan. And later in the business, you can think about things like venture capital and other larger investments.
Terrific. Now, can people take a hobby and turn it into a business?
I would say yes and no. I think, of course, you do want to do a business with a product and or service that you're good at and that you love. But I think you have to think about the market, because it is equally important. If we say location, location, location in real estate, in the business area, we say market, market, market. And what you really have to think about is this a market for the product or service that you're willing to sell. So, again, most people turn a hobby that they're really good at into a business idea, but a business plan and a course will help you to think about that idea more concretely.
Are there people who can help you with that business plan?
Absolutely. Again, there are lots of low-cost and or free nonprofit training programs through nonprofit organizations in almost every state of this country. And I would guide people to, for example, one website, the Association for Enterprise Opportunity. That's the National Association for Enterprise Development. Their website is www.microenterpriseworks.org, and you can go right to your state and then to your local area, and it will tell you the programs in your local community that will help you.
Terrific. Now, do you have to quit your job before you start your business, or is it possible to develop your business and your business plan while you're still holding down a full-time job?
Actually, I would say, Lee, in many cases, it's better not to leave your job right away. We have to. We often counsel entrepreneurs to think of your job, now that you have this business idea, think of your job as a resource for you to save income and to save the necessary resources that you will need to get your business off of the ground. In fact, I used to teach a course that was called Before You Quit Your Day Job, ... because it is an important resource and a way to actually save money that your business will definitely need once you get it started. And then at a certain point, once you actually are able to do some financial analysis, again with the help of a business counselor, you'll be able to know when it would be safe to quit your job, because the business will need that extra time that you can give it.
Okay. Now, what about a home-based business? What are some of the pros and cons of having your business based out of your home?
I would say some of the pros are obviously cost. The cost of owning your business in your home can be lower, because you're sharing, obviously, your home expenses with that place. So you are obviously already living there and don't have to put out the capital that you would need to rent or own another separate facility. You also will have, the time to manage your personal and business life, and many entrepreneurs need that extra time. And, of course, you will be able to sometimes get the help of your family and friends who may be in or near your home to help you with the business, and I think those are all pros. Cons, right away, I would say, is that same balance I just talked about. Obviously, you never are able to leave work. I think that's the number
one.
Sounds
like my life.
Yeah, that entrepreneur's name is that the business day doesn't start and end as succinctly as it does when you go to work at another facility. And there is a danger, of course, mixing both personal time as well as personal income with your business time and business income. So those are some of the cons. Our last thing I would mention is, depending on the type of business you're looking to open, you may have certain licensing or business buildings department requirements for your business. So you want to make sure that legally you're allowed to open that commercial facility in your home before you move forward with that.
That's a really good point. A lot of people forget about that.
Right.
Now, should you consider taking on a partner when you're opening your business, or and if you do consider on taking a partner on, what are the things you ought to take into account?
Yeah. Again, a really, really good question for your business counselor. That person, again, would know your particular situation and what role a partner could play. I would say when you're opening certain types of business, there's a need to be able to share that responsibility with a partner. Most times with very small businesses, when you're just beginning to start that, you don't need necessarily a partner because you want to be able to make many of the decisions on your own, and you want to be able to vision out the business idea on your own. Often people would say it might not be a good idea to have a partner right off the outset, but it's hard to give a blanket recommendation there. I would say it really does depend on the type of business you're going to open and whether you actually could share some of that burden of responsibility with another person from the onset. One thing to keep in mind is if you share the burden of the business, you also share the ownership of the business, and not all entrepreneurs are ready to share that ownership and profit that may come from the business.
So there's a price for bringing on a partner.
Completely, completely.
Okay. What are some of the pitfalls to avoid when you're starting your own business?
I think we touched on some of those. I think, again, thinking that you can do it all alone right away is a common pitfall. Get some advice. Seek some resources. Don't think that it's going to cost you a lot of money to get the help and advice that you need. It actually can be free or low cost. Secondly, understand that your business takes time to get off of the ground. If you expect too much too soon, you will be disappointed. Thirdly, understand that your business in some ways is like an infant. It takes a lot before it gives it back. So you will have to dedicate time and resources almost endlessly before you begin to see that turnaround. Getting rich quick is really a fallacy. It doesn't happen. But a business that is successful will really take your time and resources and take some time to get off the ground, but then, of course, will benefit you in the long run.
So the key is to get rich slowly.
Yes, I would say so. And just understand that, like anything else, all businesses have stages. And I'll tell you an interesting thing, Lee. The thing that kills businesses the most is growth. Not being ready for growth when it comes your way, i.e. when you get that order for 1,000, you know, of X, if you're not ready for that, then you actually are not prepared to move your business to the next stage. So, again, another reason to really get the training to understand what kinds of stages of growth can come your way.
Terrific. Now, what are some of the things that the Ms. Foundation can offer to women who are seeking to start their own businesses?
I'm glad you asked that, because I think the Ms. Foundation for Women has been a long-time supporter of women's entrepreneurship, but I want to clarify the way that we provide that support. We do not work with individual women-owned businesses. We actually, as a foundation, work with nonprofit organizations. And not individuals. And so we are really proud to be able to support across the country and for the last 16 years those same nonprofit organizations that I mentioned to you that are then able to directly work with women entrepreneurs. The Ms. Foundation for Women has a website that absolutely provides links to the resources that we support. And so that would be one place that entrepreneurs and or nonprofit organizations can go to get more resources and advice on women's entrepreneurship. So in essence, Lee, we provide the support to nonprofits so that they can provide the free and low-cost training and support services to women. The second thing I do want to mention is that the Ms. Foundation makes sure to promote the best ways of working with women. In other words, we know that programs cannot just help women start businesses, but they actually have to help women continue their businesses. It's not enough to just give you a training program and set you off the door. We want to make sure that women are getting services for the first 5 years of their businesses and beyond, because that's when you really need the help. That's when you need the mentorship the most.
Well, Ema, that is just a fabulous service that you're providing through the not-for-profits, and we've learned so much from your interview with us today. I really want to thank you, and I know our listeners would be going to the Ms. Foundation website, which, if I recall correctly, is www.ms.foundation.org. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct, and I want to thank you for the opportunity as well.
Well, we really liked it. Right now, we have to take a short break to hear from our sponsors at McCall, your training partner, and also from the Ms. Foundation, but we'll be right back.
As a professional trainer, I found that there are 5 basic learning styles. The computer-based training from McCall works on all 5. With McCall Training, you don't just watch a movie or read a manual. You access videos, examples, and exercises as you need them. You can use McCall courses to improve your management skills or to become an expert at your computer software. To find out how to achieve more with McCall Training, call us at 877-752-5329. That's 877-752-5329 or visit McCallCorp.com today. www.McCallCorp.com. McCall creates training that works. It's that simple.
Too many women lack access to political power, economic resources, and a voice in decisions affecting their lives. For 34 years, the Ms. Foundation for Women has been working to strengthen women's economic and political power, especially the power of low-income women and women of color. The Ms. Foundation for Women is the women's foundation engaged nationally to build women's power to drive social change. Through grant-making and practical training, we are working to create a true democracy of equity and inclusion, a democracy in which every woman and girl is valued and every voice is heard, a democracy in which women at the margins of our society have a seat at every decision-making table and work alongside men in every sphere of life. The Ms. Foundation for Women, changing the way the world works.
Welcome back to Your Career Doctors on Grapevine Radio. I'm your host, Barbara Jackson, and I'm here with our co-host, Lee Miller. Wow, Lee, Ema was just a wealth of information.
Yeah, I wish I had all that information when I opened up this business.
No kidding. You know, I'm fortunate enough to sit on a couple of economic development boards in my home state in Rhode Island. And one of the things that I also learned about where you can go for help is the Small Business Administration. I don't know if you used them when you went to start your own business, but I've learned that in every city there's a center that you can go to. They have computers in case you don't have one that doesn't have too many kids' games on it in order to download some sort of grown-up business software. And there's business plans there that you can use. There's all sorts of resources and research. There's mentors that you can use. It's really quite a excellent resource, particularly if you're in a smaller community, unlike you who are in New York City.
Well, yeah, and a lot of times they're associated with some of the local community colleges that offer certain resources to use.
So there's really quite a wealth of resources out there, and not having the expertise and not having the knowledge about an industry shouldn't be something that causes our listeners to not go for their passion, because you can find, if you really want to do it, you can find a way. Both of us have started our own business, so we actually have some history here.
Yeah, it was a big for me. It's been wonderful, but it's been a great change from being the head of HR with a big staff to running my own small business.
And when we made the decision, I think both of us had to come to this decision separately of whether to rent an office or whether to do it in our own home, and when was the exact moment that we felt comfortable enough to go out and put that rent deposit check down on an office?
Yeah, that's a really important and expensive decision, and it's something that you need to focus on. So, Barbara, why don't we talk about some of the
Sure.
pros and cons of having your own office and versus having your business run out of your home?
Sure. What was the determining factor for you, Lee?
Well, for me, you want to have an office. I need an office space because I need to meet with clients. And frankly, you need to have an impressive space sometimes if you're meeting with clients who are coming from big companies.
And, you know, one of the other things I found is that having to write out that rent check every month not only lets other people know that I'm serious about my career and my business, but it also sometimes lets me remember why I have to go hustle business on a day that I'd rather not go in. And since I'm the boss, nobody's going to yell at me.
Yeah, and I think also if you have a spouse and kids, sometimes that has a real impact on how they view what you do.
If you go to the office.
If you go to the office, exactly.
Rather than down to the basement. You know, we at Macau, we have a course that we work with organizations that are allowing their employees to work from home or to telecommute. And what we discover is that no matter how great the employee is, and it's usually the really good employees who are getting this as a reward for, you know, telecommuting, there's a real adjustment period that they have to go through and that their family has to go through.
Yeah, that's critical. And you have to set boundaries, right?
You do. I mean, you have to. We really recommend that if you're going to work from home, either because you used to work in an office and now you're telecommuting or because you've just started your own business, we recommend that you sit down with your family, call a family meeting, and you sign a contract. You explain to the kids that your time is until such and such. And unless they really need to go to the emergency room, they don't get to come into your office, which, of course, implies that you have a separate work room, particularly if you have family members that has doors that
and
can be closed.
That's absolutely critical. And that is a negotiation that you have to actually have with your family, with your spouse, with your kids. You have to deal with things like the computer, right?
Major issue,
right?
You have to, just because you're working at home doesn't mean that you don't spend any money. You need to do, in my opinion, you need to do two things. You need to invest in two things. You need to invest in a computer of your own that doesn't have other family members working on it, because this is how your income's coming in. And the second thing you need to do is you need to get a separate phone line that has not a, hi, you've reached Dan, Betty, George, and Judy, but that has a message on it that is your unique business message and is not going to have the messages taken off of it by your 13-year-old who's waiting for her boyfriend to call and she forgets to give you the most critical message from your client. So you really need to have your own phone line.
In today's world, sometimes you can do that with your cell phone. If your business like mine is one where you're always on the run and always on the go, you probably want to have a cell phone that is dedicated to your business exclusively.
And, you know, the other thing that's important is the message that your family sends out. And this is true even if you don't have young ones at home, whether you have a spouse or whether you just have friends and neighbors, if you're a single person working at home. People need to know that you're not unemployed, and that's the first thing that comes to mind when they see someone who's working at home. They just think that you're out of work. If you're a woman, maybe they just assume you got a great divorce settlement and you don't need to work, and they need to take you seriously as a professional. So you have to have a story. You have to dress the part. A good friend of mine, actually, who's a journalist who works at home as a bureau chief for a magazine who is in a different town than he is, always said to me that the most important thing he ever learned was from the British generals in World War II who were in prison camps. And every day they got up, they got dressed, they brushed their teeth, they shaved, and they were going nowhere out other than, you know, back to their bunk. But it was an important frame of mind to be in, that they were still at work. They might have been prisoners of war, but they were still at work.
You know, Barbara, that is absolutely true. When I teach my customer service course, I tell people, even when no one sees you, there's a huge difference in terms of how you dress. Even through the phone, people can tell.
They can. I mean, I know when I talk to people, I sort of sort them out when I'm on the telephone, because so many of us work at home. I mean, my main office is in a different state, so when I'm in my personal office, I'm not in my headquarters, I'm working out of my house. And if I don't have my game face on and my game voice on, if I'm sort of more thinking about the laundry or the gardening than I am about work, people know it. So in order to be taken seriously as a professional, I have to be game on all the time. So when it's work time, and you need to set those boundaries. So
right. Have your own space, have your own computer, have the rules spelled out clearly for your family.
Exactly. So starting your own business, I think both of us have really enjoyed it. We've had a number of different businesses, and now we have a business together, and we love it, but it's not simple, and it's not overnight. I love the fact that Ema said, you know, get rich slowly. That's the plan, particularly when you're the last person to get a paycheck, when you're the employer. But I also heard you ask Ema if she'd do some postings on our website.
Yes, she said she would do that for us. She'd give us a listing of some of those many resources that are available to our listeners who are interested in starting their own business.
That's great.
Also, Ms. Foundation has a book that I know can help you when you're starting your own business.
Oh, I love this book.
It's called Kitchen Table Entrepreneurs, and it's available on our website. And in addition, our training partner, Macau, has online training for QuickBooks, which is something that most small businesses need in order to keep your books, and also for Microsoft Office. So I think this week they'll be offering that up on a special rate for our listeners.
Yes. Now, while you're at it, you can get all of those things through links on our website at yourcareerdoctors.com. And while you're there, you can grow your own network by going to the network section. And you can post some questions or answer some other people's concerns who are looking for advice on starting their own business. And while you're there, don't forget about applying for Your Career Doctor's Job Seeker.
Yes, we encourage you to apply to get the job of your dreams. Resources will help you. We'll dedicate to that job search for you. So be the Your Career Doctor's Dream Job Seeker of 2006.
Lee, what's this week's networking question?
This week, I think what we want to have you answer is, what are some of the questions you have about starting your own business? That way, our listeners can and our experts can help you solve some of those problems.
Do you have a career doctor's career prescription for us?
I sure do. When you can't satisfy your true passion working for someone else, start your own business.
It's a big, tall order. Well, thanks, Lee.